Good morning. What a privilege it is to be here with all of you today. Thank you so much for being here. This morning, we have the privilege and blessing of sharing with all of you our story. The team of us, dear brothers and sisters from Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, had the opportunity to go in response to Hurricane Harvey, to go to Houston, to go to Galveston, Texas, to allow God to use us however He wanted, and what a blessing it was. And so as the slideshow plays, just to give you a glimpse of the things that God did in and through us and around us, I invite the team that went to come join me up here as you guys enjoy this slideshow.
Just one slide there probably needs some explanation, and that's the Buc-ee's slide. Guys, Buc-ee's was just an amazing place. If you're ever in that area in Texas, you should go stop by Buc-ee's. They got the cleanest bathrooms ever of any convenience store ever. It's also huge, but you should go. You just need to go and see it. But I just wanted to take a few minutes to explain the trip, the organization that we went with. We're part of the North American Mission Board Send Relief Division. North American Mission Board is part of the Southern Baptist, who this church is a part of. Your tithes and offerings go and help support the work efforts for the Southern Baptist, and part of it supports the North American Mission Board's work. The purpose on Send Relief was to really provide local churches like Northwest the opportunity to go and make a difference in the world. We went as part of the disaster relief efforts, but there are also resources available if you have interest in, for example, helping foster children or the people who are living in poverty, or even if you're interested in doing something about human trafficking. The Send Relief is all has resources to help local churches be a part of the work to help relieve people of those issues. So we were part of the the Send Relief, and I just want to share a little bit about the logo that you see. You can kind of see it on the upper right. There it is. That straight line represents the pews. The first chevron, or a little angle, represents people who are sitting in the pews who decide to stand up. And then that bigger yellow angle represents people who are willing to not only get up, but to go, to be a part of the work that is being done by churches and, in particular, North American Mission Board. In the slideshow, you saw people who had yellow shirts. These are people who are actually trained for disaster recovery, disaster relief. Those of us with the blue shirts, we're all the neophytes. We're the laborers. But, again, you don't need any special training. You don't need to go and attend the one- or two-day training that is offered to do disaster relief. All you have to do, if you're interested in being a part of the work, is to have a willingness to go and serve and to just give of your time, give of your talent, give of your treasure to do that. I do want to spend a few minutes talking about the whole experience. The pictures you saw, the testimonies you're going to hear from my brothers and sisters up here, cannot adequately describe just the blessings that, I received personally, and I'm sure that you're going to agree that all of them, every one of us, had experienced. Just to be able to work alongside brothers and sisters. I've had people in my family say, why are you doing this? Why are you going to go and travel all the way to do stuff like this? The short answer is that I'm a spiritual pig. And what I mean by that is that every time God has placed a burden on my heart to go do something that I felt totally ill-equipped to do, every time I've been obedient to that call, He's just poured out so many blessings into my life, and He's just shown me just such how amazing He is. And so my encouragement to all of us is, let's all be that yellow angle up there, that yellow chevron. Let's get out, not only just stand up from our pews, but let's get out of our pews, go out into the world to be that light, to be the light, to be the salt, and to really take the message of the gospel to those around us. And you don't have to go far. It can be done right in our, as Larry shared during the worship time. It can be just people within our own midst here in a congregation. Could be your neighbors, could be a family member. But let's not continue to be pew warmers. I read a slogan once that we are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. And I just pray that all of us would adopt that mantra into our lives, that, you know, we've been given such a wonderful gift. Let's go and share it with the world. Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm Paul. You guys get the longer version of this. Steve only gave us a few minutes for the Chinese service. So let me just start and tell you it's an honor to share with you how this trip to Texas transpired individually for me and for the entire team. We have an amazing God who loves us, cares for us, but challenges us to be more like Him. Thank you for all your prayers, your support. More importantly, thank God for this opportunity for our team to go. When there is tragedy and sorrow, there is hope and love. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like the same. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22, verse 37, 39. When I first heard about Hurricane Harvey in the Gulf Coast, the first thing I thought about was my friends and family. See, I was born and raised in New Orleans. I have several friends and family in Houston. Harvey hit home. Harvey hit fast. It hit hard. It was very personal for me. Several of my friends lost everything. These are the times when your faith can come into question. You see, my family had to bear through Hurricane Katrina when it did its damage in New Orleans. It's been over 10 years, but I remember it like it was yesterday. The endless possibilities of a storm of that magnitude brought back so many emotions for me. Fear, sadness, empathy, and even anger. But the one emotion I was most scared about was the feeling of numbness, apathy, no emotion. Like, it's another tragedy. No one I knew died. You can always rebuild. There are many people that have it way worse. So why did I have this feeling? Was I caught up in my own routine of life? Was I too busy to care? Was I making excuses? I was reminded of these verses, Romans 5, 1 through 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also obtain access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's amazing how God's timing is so perfect. We may not think it is, but He's always in control. It was a Sunday morning after a week after Hurricane Harvey's devastation. Pastor Steve gave a phenomenal sermon of building authentic relationships, how we are members of one another. He talked about humility, thankfulness, and commitment. He talked about vulnerability in reference to humility, that it opens the door for us to experience love, to experience God. I remember praying during offering that Sunday after Pastor Steve mentioned a team possibly going to Texas. I knew Jesus was tugging on my heart. Then the tears just flowed down my face. The more I tried to stop them, the more they came. I knew God answered my prayer feeling numb. I knew right then and there that if our church was going to send a team, I wanted to be involved. God often wants us to do something in us before He uses something for us to use something through us. I can't say enough about the selflessness of these people behind me. We were so busy there and tired, but I wanted to tell them individually thank you for encouraging me. I have one last verse to share with you. It's 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, 1 John. It states, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Thank you.
How am I going to follow after that one, Paul? Hey, first off, my name is Douglas. Doug. You guys call me Doug. Man, I'm glad we went through relief work for Texas. It was like a long drive with the van. It took us 23 hours. I think 23 hours through Texas. Well, we arrived at Galveston and was greeted by the church there, Southern Baptist Church there. In 1900, a storm came through and devastated the church. It wiped it out, and the church itself lost 44 members. So they could relate to us coming. It was rebuilt in 1902. Our group as a whole, and you see all those dots leading to Houston, was about 40. And remember, you guys sent 8 of us over there. So we represented, my math says 20%. The work was very tiring. We took out walls back and front. You can see in the picture. And you can see in the picture, I was always sitting on the job, right? We got to work, our group did, with a trailer that was almost demolished, and they said that it should have been demolished. You saw the debris and garbage. The dumps were completely full over. There was just not enough room for all this trash. We worked in the town of Dickinson, which was the worst hit. You saw in the news where they had boats rescuing people. The floors were also taken up, practically gutted the house. The devastation we saw was just tremendous. You saw piles that were 6 feet by 7 feet wide by 25 feet long. And all of us worked from 8 a.m. to about 4 p.m. The shower and food was a welcome relief. We met many Christians and brothers and sisters there that we stayed with. I was so tired one night that the young group here left and took a walk. And I said, "Oh, I don't want to join you guys because I'm tired." But I was able to do Bible study with a group from Kansas City. It was a blessing. Those are really warm people. This is the first time I had to take drugs. I took 4 pills 2 times a day. It was okayed by the pharmacist here and Dr. Paul here. I couldn't wait to go home to landscape, believe it or not. We had a challenge. On one of those pictures, we did a house that the leader said, "Hey, there's no way." It was on a Thursday. That was our last day there. And the challenge was, we as a team knew. They said, "Hey, guy, this house here is so devastated, it's going to take you guys 2 days. You know, I'm sorry you guys can't see a finish on this one." Well, we all had in our mind that, hey, we're going to show them it can be done. Through God's power, we finished that house by 4 p.m. It was just remarkable. We just steady, go, go, go. And the women, I'm sorry to say, they worked harder than I did. Really did. You could say I was always sitting on the job. So, you know, the Great Commission, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to travel great distances to do things. You know, you look to your neighbor next door and open your heart and share God's love. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim. I'm grateful here to speak to you about my personal experience in doing the relief work and what I got out of it. To start off with, before even considering to go, I was so caught up in my life, you know, working 2 jobs, coaching hockey, you know, how could I consider taking a week and going to relief work? But in reading about the church's decision to go do that, and the week after the notice of it, I was listening on Christian radio, and there was a pastor speaking, and he was talking about doing community service and that. And he said, "The time that the Lord presents you And the time that you say yes is the ownership of the devil. And after you say yes, it's all God. And that committed me right that moment to make sure that I could go. So made arrangements, went down there. And even though with all the commitments at work and making arrangements, I was able to go out there. And it was really rewarding to be out there and helping others. It was also beneficial for me as a weight loss program. I know. You could lose probably about 10 pounds of water a day out there. It was about 88 degrees, no air conditioning, and it was kind of rough work. But everybody gave it their all. And the other interesting thing is just before we went, unfortunately, was the night, Sunday night was the Las Vegas shooting, and the night before I left. And I remember my heart being burdened, and by going there, it was lifted the entire week. Just putting myself out there, doing it for others, lifted my heart, and, you know, I felt good the whole week, even though this tragedy hit our nation. So, you know, every day coming out there, working hard, you know, the amazing thing was these families. We would circle around after we completed the work, pray, a big prayer. We would give them a Bible. Everyone would sign and leave a message for the people. And it was just being present there every day and day out doing that work. You know, and the thing is that in doing this, you know, okay, you're sacrificing, you're working hard, but I didn't even think about that at all. That wasn't even in my mind. I didn't even tired. I wasn't even hurt. You know, I had leg cramps at night that were incredible, but, you know, but you don't think about that because God fills your heart with the Holy Spirit, and I hope to continue that. I hope to continue to serve others closer here at home to find, ways to reach out to the community whenever it is possible and leave the devil out of my life and always say yes when I can. I hope you join me in that effort, and I wish you all the blessing of God. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Terry. I was very blessed to be able to serve alongside this entire team here. So it was really a great time of fellowship just with brothers and sister. There was another female that Joni also went. So it was a great time of fellowship with people that I already know. But it was also an opportunity to meet new people, the ones that we were there to help, and also the ones from across the United States that also came to help. So there were people from Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, Georgia, California, North Carolina, and Washington that were there at the same time. So we got to meet people from all across the United States. And there was about a 3-to-1 ratio. It's about 25% were females that were there serving. So, you know, a lot of the people that went along as like us, it was like their first time. You know, they had no prior experience. But there were some experience disaster relief teams that were there from Michigan and Missouri. So they kind of like would lead us along the way. But when we got there, you saw the picture of that church, which was First Baptist Church in Galveston. We all stayed there. The majority of us stayed at the church. And because we were all there together, you kind of really spend a lot of time together. So we ate together, and then we would go out, and we would work with different teams from different states, come back, and then we would all share, like, oh, what did you do today? Did you get finished? You know, what happened and things. And we're also able to share, like, just testimonies with each other, too, about, you know, how our lives are spiritually and what's going on with everyone. So it was really great fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters, and just like really great bonds, and like exchange phone numbers and texts and things like that. So it was really wonderful fellowship. So one of the disaster relief workers that was trained that I got to know and work alongside from, work alongside with, her name was Terry. So I was like, hey, I'm Terry too. So we kind of like hit it off right away. But she had been doing it for many years. She's a retired teacher, and she had been doing disaster relief for maybe like 10 to 15 years already. You know, I think she was a little bit older than me even, and she was doing stuff like, she said, yeah, I got trained on chainsaw and everything. So it's like her, she's like, that's my favorite thing, chainsaw. But she really showed me the ropes of what to do. When I went in there, it's like, okay, what do we do? I have no idea. So she's like, okay, come here and let me show you how to pull nails. So she showed me how to pull nails. So it's amazing what you can do with a mini crowbar and a hammer. She showed me how to pull off door frames and pull off baseboards and molding. So it was really a lot of hard work, but really rewarding. And then she also shared with me the reason that she does the work and why they do the work. And you know, the environments like everyone shared so far, it's really hot, it's hard work, and you see the pictures of us with the mask. That was the worst thing, having to wear that mask all the time because it was just so hot. But she said the reason we do it is like, yeah, we go there because there's a need and you're there to help people and the need is really great. But when you go there and you help out these homeowners, and they see you do the work and you're there to help them, they're really open and receptive to hear you and to speak with you. And they respect you, so they'll listen to what you have to say. So she told me, if anybody wants to talk to you, you just drop what you're doing and you just talk to them. You know, because we can get so caught up in doing the work, the actual physical work, that we forget the reason that we're there. So that was a really great reminder for me. And she was such a great encouragement and inspiration for me. I also had the opportunity, along with a lot of us, to talk with some of the homeowners there. And one in particular, his name was Willie. I was able to talk to as we were going through the house and working. I saw pictures on the wall, and it talked about faith and grace. So I talked to him. I said, oh, yeah, I saw those pictures hanging up on the wall. And so we got to talk about his faith, and he was a believer, and his family was also. And we talked a while, and then he started talking about we were watching people work and got out this one room, and he said, yeah, you know, that room there, my mother used to stay in that room, like, in her last days when she was kind of, like, confined. She lived in that room, and I guess he just, like, had a lot of memories, and he just needed somebody to share with and talk about. And he talked about all the losses, because that house was totally empty. Everything was gone. Appliances, the floors, you know, 4 feet of the wall. Everything was taken out of there. They had, like, so much flood damage. So, you know, really brought back the reason that we go, why we go and we do what we do. When I got back, I saw this report, this newsletter from the North American Mission Board, and it talked about the number of professions of faith that had been, that they had recorded since Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. And at that point, which was like maybe the second week of October, it said that there had been like 400 professions of faith due to these disasters. So there really is an impact that this send relief and disaster relief is making there. So and then Willie went on to talk to me about what was going on. He said, you know, he said that they didn't have any flood insurance for their home. And he told me that they were denied by FEMA. And he said that everything that they're doing, they have to just pay for themselves out of pocket. And then he said, you know, that God really is providing and answering prayers. And he said that the team and everybody there was just like a blessing and an answer from God, you know, because otherwise they would not be able to afford to do that work on the house. So it was really, really humbling to be a part of that work. So anyway, it was a really amazing time to be with brothers and sisters, to work alongside them. Everybody's there with the same purpose, the same focus. Everybody wants to be there. They want to work. They're there to give it 100%. And it was just like, it was such a blessing. I mean, I thought that, oh, this is like a little bit of what it's going to be like in heaven, where we're all like on the same page and all together. So I thought that God doesn't really, there's so much work, but God doesn't really need me to do the work because he can do it. I mean, whatever God wants to do, he's going to do. But that if I'm just willing to go and to do my part, then I experience like such blessing from that. So thank you very much.
Hello. You see me again. See, I know I just lead music. But my name is Larry Yee. You know, I've been with this church almost from its inception. Some of you guys, I have taught your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. So it's been around here for a long time. And, you know, it's just been a real blessing to be here to serve. I mean, just as Chinese service, we met a family here. The whole three pews was filled up with a family because their father, their grandfather, the husband, finally accepted Christ after almost 50 years, you know, and Lord. And that was really moving to me to see that. But, you know, let me just share with you a little bit about what it means to be blessed by God. In James 2, 14 through 17, I'll just read it for you. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. When I went down to Texas, I think when we first saw the hurricane and the events that have happened, and since, you know, I was down there in Houston, in fact, that's where I met Joni, my wife. She's originally from Houston. So I spent about a good 5 or 6 years down there. And so when I saw the devastation there, I recognized some of the streets and some of the flooded areas and all that, you know, and it kind of really moved me, you know. And it's really funny. It's funny how I can stand here and tell you how it moved me. But none of you guys are going to be moved simply because it doesn't touch your bubble. It doesn't touch your environment. But I can guarantee you there are times in your lives where something has touched your bubble. Something has touched your environment. And that moved you. And you may have cried out to God, or you cried out to someone and asked for help. We all have those moments in our lives. Life is not just a bed of roses. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs. You know, how great it is to have a God that's constant, that's sovereign. They'll take you through all those ups and downs, you know. And so what I'm here to share with you is the blessings of serving together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and the work and the needs that are still being taken care of in Houston, okay. Joni and I went down there, and Joni's not here because she's serving right now. You know, she's teaching your kids, you know, in classes while we're having service. But Joni and I, we felt it was close to our hearts, you know, just out of the blurb, you know, all of a sudden she says, you know, I think we should go to Houston. And I says, you know, I felt the same way, but I was afraid to ask her because you know how it is, you know, I don't know what she's going to say to me, you know. Anybody that's a husband for a long time will know exactly what I'm talking about, you know. She rules the nest. But anyway, we felt like, you know, that this is what the Lord wants. We prayed about it and everything. And so we felt the Holy Spirit prompting us to go. And, of course, we also knew several people like Paul, family members, et cetera, you know, that were devastated by the flood. So we felt like we must be doers of the word. We can no longer just be listeners of the word. You know, we listen to great sermons and everything. Oh, that was fantastic. It was so inspiring. But it really doesn't take hold until you apply those words into your very lives. Well, working with brothers and sisters down there in Texas was quite a joy. And one of the things that you experience when you work side by side and doing God's work, it's a blessing, like Terry said, to the people that you're helping out. But you know what? It's a blessing to us, too. Because you're working side by side with a brother or sisters and doing and accomplishing what God would want you to do. So, I had characterized several things about my fellow co-workers here. Okay, and I'm going to explain a little bit about their character, and you guys will probably say, yeah, that's truly what that person is like. Gary, over here, I call him my Energizer Bunny. And the reason being is because even before we even started in any work, he was running around helping people. And Terry told him, you know, says, hey, you know, Joni told Terry, you should tell Gary to slow down. You know, he says, nope, that's Gary. You know, he's always got to be doing something. He can't just be standing there. The rest of it, we're just standing here waiting for our assignment, you know. So Gary was the Energizer Bunny, and he definitely showed it when we did some work on all the houses that we did. You know, I mean, he was constantly tearing, nailing, or tearing things out, you know, whatever needs to be done. Terry, you know, was, like I said, she learned quick. She knew how to pull nails and studs out of walls. And also she was a good promoter for Advil. Okay? Steve had every tool available, everything that you could possibly need. Oh, we need a power tool. We need a power screwdriver. Oh, look at my thing over there, Larry. I think there's one there. I go, okay, let's just use that. You know, and he always had every tool and he had solutions, you know, whenever we had a problem. He was always there whenever there was something that needed to be done. He didn't necessarily have to be in the forefront of doing things, which I really appreciate about Steve. Jim, I call him my beast man. Okay, and the reason being is because, you know, Jim's got a lot of power behind him because he plays hockey a lot. He's from Detroit, okay? And so whenever it was like we were tearing out floors, which required a crowbar, you know, where you had to take out these 2x4s that were tarred down, and then the plywood or the wood was on top, the wood floors on top. So here I am, I'm chunk, you know, it was really hard work, and then says, oh no, here. I said, oh man, I got a man on steroids here. You know. Then I called Doug here, my person, if ever I have to study, if I go back into healthcare and all that and want to study immunity, Doug would be my guinea pig. And the reason being is because all of us wore masks and goggles, you know, make sure we protect ourselves from the mold and the dust that's flying around. This brute, man, he didn't even have a mask. He didn't even wear the goggles. If you notice on all the pictures when we're working, he has his mask up, no goggles, you know. And he truly amazed us, you know, with the way that he was able to work through all those circumstances. We're all walking around with our mask and goggles, you know. Paul is a servant. You know, Paul was always there to serve us no matter what. I mean, even when we weren't on job site, you know, he was serving us. You know, like we'd be eating lunch or dinner. I said, Larry, you want some more? Here, I'll go up and get you some. I said, oh, okay. I says, I have 2 feet. I can walk up there, you know. But no, Paul wanted to do that. He has a talent or the gift of service from God, you know. Joni, my wife, are you listening to this, dear? I don't know if you are back in there. But, you know, I always thought, you know, I was a macho guy. I'm always taking charge of my family, you know, forging the road ahead of us, etc. You know, I found out that Joni, she was there. And if any of you guys ever scraped tile, you know, it's real hard work. You have to scrape her and you have to really chunk on that tile and scrape it. And she was doing that. And I says, wow, Joni, you're really strong. I said, it must be from all the workouts. She says, no, I just think about all the time and getting angry and mad at you. So she was removing all that stuff, you know. So I thought that was kind of cool. But anyway, the whole point of this whole thing was the fact that we were able to work together, serve the Lord together, and be blessed by the Lord together. It's so much so that it was a blessing for the people that were doing it, but it was also a blessing for us. The last house that we served at was an elderly couple in their 90s. They just got married 3 years earlier, and they were forced to leave their home to go to an assisted living home. And so I could tell the wife, they left everything, China. There was like keepsake, mementos and everything. They said, you know, just give it all away. Just give it all away. You know, you could tell just from the tone that was, they were heartbroken. But that was a house that Doug mentioned that we would take 2 days to clear out that house. But we did it in 1 day. And when we did it in 1 day, we cleaned up everything, the whole garage itself, all the stucco was still in there. We had to tear all that out of there, tear everything down, spray it for mold and mildew to prevent it from coming back. And then later on, I find out from one of our people that was helping us, our group, you know, he says, oh, yeah, the owner called, and she said that she won't be there. But we told her that we kept the photo and the church directory. That's all she really wanted. And she, her first thing was that, did they do the garage? Because the garage, you know, was really a mess. You know, says, yes, we completed everything. And she started crying, you know, because that was their house. But it was a blessing for them, as it was a blessing for us. And if you can just grasp for just a moment the Lord's touch on your life, think of those times in your life where the Lord has touched you. And have you ever said, thank you, Lord, for blessing me? Thank you, Lord, for using me as a blessing for others.
Because that's all about being a doer of the word, not just a listener, guys. So go out beyond these four walls and do something with your life, whether it be within your own home, with your family, or with your neighbors. Or if you choose, if you can go all the way across over the ocean, if that's what the Lord's calling you. But do what God wants you to do, simply because it will bless those that you touch as much as it's going to bless you. Thank you.
So as you can see, we were blessed. You know, you talk about the hard, the grueling work. It was. But we were truly blessed. And we thank God for all of you. Thank you for your prayer, your support. But I want to challenge you all this morning. I want to share this last passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, he modeled self-emptying sacrifice for each one of us. He set aside his status. He set aside meaningful relationships to meet humankind's greatest need, a need for redemption. He left everything for kingdom purposes. He left everything to be obedient to his Father, to be obedient to God. And today, brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us to sacrifice in that very same way. Jesus is the perfect example of loving God, loving people, and serving others. That is his heart. And so my question for each of us is, will you join with God? Will you join God's mission today? Will you be on mission with God every day? Not just taking care of your family, but also opening your mouth and sharing the treasure that you have. His name is Jesus. Because our life here on earth is simply but a mist, but a vapor. Here one day, gone tomorrow. But God has set eternity in each of our hearts. And so we must never forget that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And God has called each one of us as followers of Jesus Christ to live, to be living sacrifices for his kingdom, for his glory today. And so what is God calling you to do? Maybe it starts with acknowledging our own sin and the idols that we have in our life. Maybe it's responding to that conviction that God has placed on your heart to go. Go across the room. Talk to that person. Go across the street. Maybe to go across the state or the country or to go across the world. Yeah, we say you don't have to go across the ocean to serve the Lord, and that's true. But if God's calling you, would you go? And if not, why? And so, dear brothers and sisters, yeah, we don't all need to go help the hurricane-affected people in the United States. But I'm asking you, what is God calling you to do? And will you pray? And as God leads, will you go? Will you let go of some of that desire or that priority of just safety and comfort? Will we let go of our materialism? And will we live out God's word? Will we live out on mission with him, taking the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that is so desperately in need of him? Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you for who you are. God, you are almighty. You are amazing. God, thank you so much for how you blessed us so richly in Texas. You blessed us with such sweet fellowship. You blessed us, God, with strength, with answered prayer. God, we saw people's faith strengthen and grown. We've heard about people coming to Jesus Christ, putting their trust and their faith in Him as Lord and Savior. God, what an amazing thing for You to allow us to be a part of. And God, we know that the work is not done. There are needs and limitless opportunities all around, God, to serve You, to love others, to be Your hands and to be Your feet. And I pray, God, that You would stir in each one of our hearts, that You would lead us to go, that You would give us strength, God, that You would break us out of our apathy, our complacency, God, that You would reorganize our priorities, that we would be serious about Your commands, Your word, and the purpose that You've given us, that we would be willing to go. Wherever that is, whatever that requires, God, I pray. Thank You for being such a patient God, a loving God. Thank You for giving us hope. And I pray, God, that all of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God, that we would realize more and more every day what a treasure we have, and that we'd be willing to share it and no longer be silent. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you all to rise, and I want to invite you to respond to God this morning. Maybe God has put something on your heart. I would love to pray with you if you would simply just come and meet me at the front. Or some of you, something's a burden's on your heart or a conviction, and you just want to talk to God this morning. Respond to Him in a very tangible way by coming and kneeling at the steps here. If that's your desire, I want to invite you just to come and to pray. Or come and share with me so that I can pray with you as we sing. Will you come?